As we begin to look at the ministry of John the Baptist with Jesus, and as you're turning to John chapter 1, if you would join with me in a spirit of prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your truth and the constancy and foundation and stability your word and your spirit give us. And so, Lord, today may we find our roots deep in your word and what you have revealed to us, so that we might go out into the world bringing your light and witness to who you are and who we are in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so as this week developed, there were a lot of emotions and thoughts that went through my head. Most of it was like, this is insane. What are we doing? Things are crazy, but rightly so, and not necessarily the crazy part, but the concern, rightly so, especially for a church of like ours, which has many more seasoned saints in it. But as I was looking on, you know, there's blessings and curses with social media, and one of the curses is everybody's allowed to say everything and anything, and I just noticed about, especially in the news media or wherever, the just trying to get an interview or information from people who have gone through this before, you know, people from Italy, from China, from a cruise ship, all of these trying to clamoring for the next hot take on the coronavirus. And the reason why that is because we as human beings and as people need a witness. You know, we want to hear from people who have experienced things or know things. Now, we have to be careful about that, too. We have to be careful about who we listen to and all these things. Just because some doctor writes a long post about this, or as this person says that, we don't know these people, and so the best things for us to do are pay attention to the CDC and people on the front lines in our communities and all of these types of things. But the reason we are clamoring for all of these hot takes and for all of this information is because we want to know about what's going on. And some of it's an unhealthy desire to have too much information that isn't helpful, but at the end of the day, we want to know. But it's funny, when it comes to Jesus, we don't necessarily want to know. Or we don't really want to share all about it. We want to share quick things and hot takes on Facebook about a virus, but about Jesus, are we so quick to speak and to share our opinions and thoughts? And so let's take a look at John and what he was called to do, John the Baptist, according to John, the gospel writer. Starting in verse 19. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. And so we first see that John witnesses to who he is not and who he is not. And so the first thing we understand about being a witness for Christ is we have to understand who we are. and who we are not. And so the Jews sent priests to investigate John. Levites and priests ministering around Jerusalem were specialists in ritual purification, and so they had special reason to question John and his ministry. And so the Gentiles were the ones to go through purification as proselytes. And so baptism didn't happen to Jews. It happened to Gentiles that were coming into Judaism and cleansing themselves of all their idolatry and worldly ways. And so it would have been offensive to suggest that a Jew had to cleanse also. And so John is preparing the way with the reality that all are in need of salvation and cleansing from God. And so John recognizes that people, even Israel, are dirty, sinful, in anticipation of the Messiah's coming. John is preparing the way for the person who will fully provide for salvation. And again, and now the term Jews, you'll notice that John uses the term Jews is used 68 times in this book. And sometimes it's neutral, sometimes it's a positive sense, but it often refers specifically not to all Jews, but to hostile Jewish opponents amongst the Jewish leaders and the ordinary people who followed them. And so again, this phrase doesn't mean all Jews. John and Jesus were Jewish in that matter. So John wants his readers and Jewish leaders to realize that Jewish opposition to Jesus goes to the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, but it did not deter many other Jews from following Jesus anyway. And so these representatives from Jerusalem ask John if he is the Messiah, the Christ. Christ is not a proper name, it is a title, the Messiah, the one to come. And he asks if he's the return of Elijah, who they believed did not die and would return before the end times, or the prophet. And they also believe that a prophet would come because Moses promised that a prophet would come. And in Deuteronomy 18, 15 and 18 predicts the coming of the prophet. And so John first denies being any of these. And you can almost read his frustration with these questions. He confesses, I'm not the Christ. And then they ask, well, are you Elijah? He says, I am not. And then finally the prophet, and he's frustrated, and he just says, no. He is not really of importance in comparison to Christ. And so the people came for answers. They need an answer to bring back to the religious leaders. And so John says he is the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. John knew who he was not, and he knew who he was and what he had come to do. John didn't think highly of himself or too highly of himself, all the way up to Messiah or Elijah or even a prophet. And he didn't think too lowly of himself. He understood what he had come to do. He had come to prepare the way, to lay the groundwork, to prepare people for repentance and the preaching of the kingdom. And that's just an aside. When Jesus came, he called people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We have to understand, when we look at Jesus, we often think, oh, he just buddied up with people. He was really just nice and everything. But he also called people to repent. So we take stories that we'll see even in John, like the woman caught in adultery, and she's just laid before a bunch of men, and notice that the man who was also committing adultery wasn't there, so it was very unfair in this instance. But at the end of it all, he says, you know, if no one stands here to condemn you, then neither do I condemn you. But then what does he say? Go and sin no more. It's not just a there, you're fine. It's okay. You are guilty, but I'm not gonna punish you for it. But go, don't do this anymore. And that was the ministry of Jesus. He was kind, he was gentle, he was meek, but he was also strong in what God expected of his people. And so John did not want to draw attention or witness to himself. He wasn't standing there saying, look at me, I'm John, I'm this weirdly dressed dude, I eat locusts and all these things. No, he's calling people to prepare themselves for the coming of Jesus. He was there to draw attention to Jesus. And as we'll see later, this question and the next few scenes seem to happen actually after Jesus' baptism. Because in the next few verses, he'll say that there's one standing among you that you do not know that is even greater than I, greater than you. And then the next thing is we see John sees Jesus and says, behold, the Lamb of God who has come to save the world from their sins. John drew witness and attention to people's need to prepare themselves for the Messiah in repentance. And the reason this is important is because Scripture says on the account of two or three witnesses, something is made valid. John knew that Jesus had come to be the Savior, and John spent his life and energy pointing people to him, even if it was offensive. The men were sent from the Pharisees, who were the protectors and the conservative leaders of the law. They, of course, wanted to know about this teacher and this rabble-rouser. Why is this guy asking people who are Jews to wash? They had seen false messiahs before, so you really can't blame them for being, suspect of what John is doing or what Jesus eventually is doing. And so the question is for us in looking at who John was and who we are we preparing ourselves for Jesus? Are we repenting of sin or are we just kind of meandering through life? And with that, are we witnessing to him or do we have too high a view of ourselves? Because I'll be honest, I think oftentimes we don't witness that I don't witness because do I really believe I need Jesus? Or is he just a nice hall pass in my pocket? Do we say we need Jesus, but live like we are just fine, and Jesus is just an add-on? You know, we're justifiably concerned over the coronavirus that can hurt many vulnerable people. And we must be a people who trust not in healthcare or our own immunities, but we must show ourselves to have a humble confidence in Jesus in the midst of this. Much of the world is in a panic. And so we as a church must be in a place to offer hope that Jesus has placed within us. You know, because right now is an opportunity, but we have to understand that most people are not going to naturally look to the church for hope anymore. They might look to us for money, but they're not going to look for Jesus. And so we must be in a place to take opportunity to share the hope that we have in Christ in the midst of viruses, of our own failures, of our weaknesses. And this doesn't mean that we can just say, because this is more of a platitude than truth. We don't just say Jesus will heal you and will have a wonderful plan for your life. That's not what we say in testimony to Jesus. What we say is that Jesus is in control of this and this too shall pass. But even if it doesn't for you, we have hope in a kingdom to come. Because we have to understand, people, this is not the only life we have. This is a blip on the eternal radar. So we really should be a humbly confident people, but we also don't need to blast people with that. And we have to walk slowly with them, understanding that a lot of people have fear, but we have the hope in the midst of trial. The church is here not to just gather and worship and then go on our way, but to be filled with the Spirit and the presence of God, to be a confidence in the presence of insecure times. This is the church's time. Even if we do have to cancel services, it is still our time to be filled with God and to be bring an awareness of his work in our lives and around us. And so please wash your hands. Stand 3 to 6 feet away from me. I will you. Throw hand sanitizer. Heck, get some holsters with Lysol. Do whatever you need to do. But also with that, know that your confidence is not in Purell, it is in Jesus Christ. And know into your very depths that Jesus is the reason why you don't panic, not your immunity. And witness to that. Witness to who Jesus is and who we are, because we cannot save ourselves. So we have to know that we are in need of Jesus. And if we really believe we are in need of Jesus, then I hope and I pray the Holy Spirit would push us to bringing him to other people who need Jesus. And so they asked him, if you're not any of these things, if you're just preparing the way, why are you baptizing? If you're not Jesus, if you're not Christ, if you're not Elijah, if you're not the prophet. And John answers, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. If John is only preparing the way, then why is he baptizing? Again, remember the Levites and those who were in this group, the priests, were responsible for ceremonial cleansing. Why is this guy cleaning people when that's our job? And so they found this offensive. The idea of people needing to repent in the Jewish community is offensive. They're God's chosen people. And again, proselytes, people who convert, need to be baptized. And so again, do we really see a need for salvation, for Jesus? Do we really see that people need Christ? Maybe we're all just fine the way we are. That's often one of my questions to people who say, well, you know, Jesus may not be the only way. Maybe Buddha. Maybe, you know, just people's best efforts at trying to follow the pantheon of gods in India. Maybe Islam is someone's best attempt. Maybe Allah and our God are the same God, just different iterations and understandings. And so my question with that, then, why do we have Jesus? What's the point? And I've had what I believe are wonderful Christians come and say to me, maybe there's another way. And then I ask them and I say, then why do we worship Jesus? Why do we tell people about Jesus? Because if people are perfectly fine worshiping to their best abilities their own God, then let's not screw this up and help and cause them a possibility of rejecting Jesus. Let's leave them to their own devices and hopefully they can figure out, rather than heaping onto them the possibility of rejecting Jesus. But the reality is Jesus is necessary, and that's why the church exists. To be his light, to be his representative. And so John knew that he not only prepared the way for Jesus, but that he was not worthy of Jesus. And that's, again, another thing we have to understand is it is all grace. Remember last week we saw that Jesus brought grace upon grace, inexhaustible grace. And so John anticipates the greater work of Jesus. John throws water on people. Jesus is greater. John doesn't even think he's worthy to be around Jesus' feet. And remember last week I talked about feet are gross? Well, the idea of unbuckling someone's sandals or washing people's feet was what servants did, the lowest of the low. Because there's all sorts of filth and grime on people's feet, a very humbling place to be. And John didn't even consider himself worthy enough to be around Jesus' feet. And so we must know who Jesus is and how great and grand he is, and yet that he comes to save us. He's greater than us all. And we do not need to build up our own following. We need to build up a following for Christ. And so remember, a witness is not telling about ourselves. A witness tells about what they know about something else. Remember, I think I've used this illustration in the past. If you go to courtroom and you're called as a witness, an expert witness or whatever, you're telling what you know about the case, the circumstances. You're not talking necessarily about yourself. They might ask you some, if it's an expert witness, they might ask some, like, why should you be a witness here? But at the end of the day, you're there to tell what you know about the case's circumstances. And so we stand here, I stand here not talking about how great of a Christian or a pastor I am, and you don't stand there talking about how great of a Christian you are. You are talking about how great your God is in Jesus in your life. That's what a witness does. And so you don't have to worry about talking about yourself, except you might want to, you know, level the playing field and say, I'm a broken human being, a sinner just like you, but I serve a great Savior. That's the entry point. Jesus. And so we talk about not ourselves, but the impact Jesus has had on our lives. Tell what we know about Jesus. And so the question comes down to this: do you know him? That's what every gospel is about. Do you know this Jesus? Do you see his goodness, his greatness, his mercy, his grace? Or is this life really just up to chance? Is Jesus just another moral teacher, just another nice example to follow, or is he King and Savior? Because most people in this world will admit, if they admit that Jesus ever existed in the first place, will admit that Jesus was a nice guy and had some really nice things to say. But is he more than a nice guy? Is he more than the hula skirt Jesus that you put on your dashboard? Is he King? Is he Savior? And if he is, does your time, and this is convicting to me, does your time and how you parent your children, how you encourage your children and your grandchildren, how you engage with people at work, show who's King of your life? That doesn't mean you're wearing a Jesus t-shirt every day. But has it changed the way you interact with the world around you? Do your time and energy reflect that you know him to be in control and King over your life? Or again, is he a hall pass? Just gotta make sure I don't go to hell. He's more than that. He is our King, he is our Savior, who has come from heaven to earth, God made flesh, so we might have everlasting life, and this was grace upon grace. So we stand here, we sit here, I'm standing here, you're sitting there, to be filled with his word and his spirit so that we can go as lights to his kingdom and witness to him, not ourselves. We witness to him because he is worthy of all honor and grace. And in his mercy, he came to save us. It is all mercy, all grace, that we have opportunity to share who this great King and Savior is in the midst of very turbulent, unsure times. And so let's pray that the Lord would fill us with his Spirit so that we would be humbly, not jerks, but humbly bold for his kingdom. And so, Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that you sent John to show us the example of preparing the way for Jesus. And so, Lord, we also know that it's a work of your Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask that your Spirit would go forward and that you would open people's hearts during this time to who you are. Lord, may we not fear what we will say, for your Spirit is more than able and capable to give us the words we need in the moment. Lord, guide us each and every step of the way. And we do lift up our brothers and sisters who could not be here today due to not feeling well or risks. Father, we pray that you would strengthen them, both body, heart, and soul. And so, Lord, we do ask that you would give us wisdom in the days to come. And in all of that, to rely on you for our hope and strength. For our lives are committed to witnessing to who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.